Welcome. Today we're looking into your sources on the UK mortgage market. Quite a journey, isn't it? From, a pretty stable sector to all the challenges we see now with inflation and just getting on the ladder. We've got a fair bit to get through, and the plan is basically a quick knowledge check. We want to pull out the key ideas fast, the history, the crunch, what's happening now with benchmarks.
Yeah.
Kind of connect the dots.
Yeah, and that speed's important. You can't really understand today's rules like affordability checks without knowing the history, the risks that led to them. Competition is a good place to start, I think.
Agreed. Okay, first question then, thinking about competition. True or false? The UK mortgage market only got really competitive after the 2007 credit crunch.
Ah, that's going to be false. I mean, the crunch definitely shook things up, but the sources point way back to the 1980s. Regulatory changes then really opened the door.
Allowing new lenders in.
Exactly. Building societies, demutualizing, becoming banks. That fundamentally changed the game long before 2007. It gave us the variety of products we sort of expect now.
All right, that context is key.
Yeah.
Okay, moving to how risk was handled, or maybe mishandled. What's the term for when a lender bundles up mortgages and sells them off to someone else, basically getting them off their own books? Is it A, monetary policy, B, securitization, or C, credit-impaired borrowing?
That would be B, securitization. And it's crucial to remember this wasn't just admin. It was about transferring risk.
Off the lender's balance sheet?
Precisely. Which frees up capital so they can lend even more. You can see how that incentive, well, it really ramped things up dangerously before the crash.
So securitization was like the engine driving a lot of that lending. But how bad was the type of lending here in the UK? True or false? Subprime lending, that really risky stuff, was just as bad in the UK as in the US before 2007.
False again. The U.S. situation was definitely more extreme, but we weren't totally immune. Well, you had institutions like Northern Rock, right? They got into trouble partly because they chased market share so aggressively, using securitization to fund lending that was, frankly, quite risky. But overall, the U.K. had tighter controls than the U.S. That helped limit the damage.
Okay. So that crisis obviously led to much stricter rules and different ways of measuring financial health. Let's pivot to now the current environment. What's the official inflation target the government sets for the Bank of England?
That target is 2%, and it's measured using the CPI, the Consumer Prices Index.
And that 2% is why we see the Bank of England acting, right?
Exactly. It's the core of monetary policy. When CPI jumps up way past 2%, like we've seen, the bank raises interest rates. The idea is to slow down spending, cool the economy, and bring inflation back down to that target.
Okay, and speaking of interest rates,
yeah,
we need to pin down the main benchmark rate used now. What is SONIA? S-O-N-I-A.
Yes, SONIA. It stands for Sterling Overnight Index Average. It's basically the rate banks charge each other for lending overnight in sterling. It became the main benchmark for sterling markets towards the end of 2021.
And it replaced LIBOR, which had all those scandals associated with it. The sources seem to highlight that SONIA is much more reliable.
That's the key point. It's based on actual real transactions that have happened, not just banks' estimates. So yeah, it's seen as much more robust, a sort of near risk-free rate. That stability is vital for pricing mortgages today.
Makes sense. And that focus on stability and, well, protecting people brings us to the last area. Customers, specifically the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority rules. Why are customers who take out a mortgage or maybe increase an existing one, specifically to consolidate other debts, why are they flagged as vulnerable customers?
It's because the rules say they're owed a higher duty of care from the lender.
Okay, a higher duty of care. Why them specifically?
Well, the sources mention this often happens, maybe early in the year, after people have perhaps overspent. Using your house to pay off other debts is a big step, potentially risky. So the FCA wants lenders to be extra careful, make absolutely sure that person isn't taking on dangerous levels of debt secured against their home. They need that extra protection.
Right. So it's about assessing the real risk for that individual.
Exactly. And looking at the bigger picture, even with recovery after, say, 2013, the market is still tough. The sources keep coming back to the same issues today: affordability, needing huge deposits, inflation. It's still really hard, especially for first-time buyers.
Yeah, definitely. And one point that really stood out from the sources ties into that. Today's first-time buyers are, on average, quite a bit older than they used to be.
Yeah. Which means they'll be paying off that mortgage much later in life, closer to retirement age, potentially.
Exactly. So maybe we can leave you, the listener, with this thought. If people are finishing their mortgage payments much closer to retirement, what does that actually do? What are the long-term impacts on things like, savings, passing on wealth, maybe even the wider UK economy. Something to think about. Thank you for sharing these sources with us today. It's a really important area and definitely worth exploring further.
This study resource is part of Future Trends support towards your mortgage qualification. Keep practicing, stay confident, and best of luck with your exams. Future Trend Financial Training, accredited CMAP learning and support provider for the LIBF.